Now I request Dr. Shankar to kindly speak on the pragmatic aspects of scaling up cervical cancer screening in health services, which would be, I think, very relevant after this course. How do we go ahead? That's something which everybody would like to know, especially the decision makers. Thank you.
Thank you, Yogesh. Respected Dr. Bhandari, my dear friends, colleagues, I think we had a very interesting 3-day interactive course here. I think it benefited us, and I hope it benefited you as well. And it has two implications. The number one implication is, you know, what you can contribute to the screening program as part of the integrated non-communicable disease control initiative that you have in this state. And the second is in the context of, you know, what you can do as an individual in your own hospital or in your private practice or whatever it is to prevent cervical cancer. Eric, can you move the... So what I thought, I'll use 5 or 10 minutes, you know, which are important in the context of making this program successful in Sikkim. To make this successful, there are 3 important elements. First is a good quality testing. Second is people who are screen positive, you treat them effectively. And then the third part is you know what is happening. So you collect all the information in a proper database so that at any point in time, you know what is the status, you know, how many women we screened, how many were positive, how many were treated, and then eventually you will also collect information how many were effectively treated and how cancers are declining in Sikkim. And fortunately for that, you have a population registry. So I will just make some few observations from a programmatic and pragmatic point of view in the context of a program. Of course, this is the responsibility of the government, you know, the political will, a policy, a written and approved project and operational manual with standard operational procedures, and there is a committed budget line with year-wise allocation of resources, financial resources, and an organization to oversee screening with a program manager. Okay. In Sikkim, fortunately, you have fulfilled some of these important governmental actions. You have a political will here, you have a policy, and then you have a program put in place with an integrated non-communicable disease control activity. But the thing is, it may be important now for you to write an operational manual with standard operating procedures so that everybody knows clearly what to do. You know, how the BAA is carried out, how the clinical breast examination is done, and how the oral visual inspection is done. What are the criteria to call VIA, CBE and oral visual inspection positive and negative? And what do you do with the positive people? And then when the positive women or the positive persons come to a hospital, how they are triaged, diagnosed and treated? It's all laid down in a booklet, in an operational manual that will improve the quality of your program. And then to know what is happening, an information system will come to that. So a screening policy. Here in the context of visual examination, we said if the visual examination is negative, there is no need to repeat the test every year. In fact, one of the important components in a screening program is an optimum screening interval. So we would consider from a WHO perspective, with the visual screening, the sort of frequency at which you will repeat need not be less than 3 years or 5 years. There is no need to repeat it on an annual basis. Pragmatically, I would say it is 5 years. But eventually, when you switch over in the future for a HPV testing, even a single lifetime testing may be sufficient, but given the resources, a frequency in once in 10 years is all that which is required. Then the choice of screening test you have already made. Currently, the choice of the screening test is visual inspection with acetic acid with the Lugalcidin. But eventually, as you build up your experience, you should always be open for the new changes. The most accurate, reproducible, objective screening test is HPV testing. At the moment, it is expensive, it is less affordable, but there will be more affordable tests available in future. So that can be implemented. The real advantage of the HPV screening test is, the HPV test is negative. In a woman who is 30 years and above, she can be literally left alone. A very high negative predictive value. And as I said, the policy for referral, triage, treatment and follow-up. This is why I think it is very important that you cannot replicate treatment in every primary healthcare center. Because in primary care, you screen and positive women are referred to either to a district hospital or to a central treatment facility. I think it is important to organize this. At least one centralized facility, a place where colposcopy will be provided, where loop electrosurgical excision is done, and invasive cancers are diagnosed and referred. And as you see, cold coagulation facilities can be provided in the district hospitals. So that all ectocervical lesions are referred to district hospital where you do cold coagulation, they need not come to central facility. But when they require excision and then cancer has to be excluded, they have to come to a central facility. That needs to be organized quite quickly. Next slide, please. And then the providers of screening, diagnosis and treatment, they should be adequately trained. You have already put in some training inputs here, and this is in the continuum of training what we have done here, but it requires much more training. You know, then you need to identify a group of master trainers. Every time people like Partha and Usharani need not come here, you put in this type of resource in 3 or 4 people or 5 people here, that's called master trainers, who can go on training the providers, and the providers have to be retrained as well to keep the competence. So, in that context, training of providers, manuals, courses, competence assessment. So, this is one area where you can have technical support from some of the colleagues within India and outside India and from us, people like us. And then, the investments in infrastructure. You cannot run a program because our secretary is very knowledgeable and he is a very senior clinician and a very senior healthcare manager. He understands exactly the importance of investing in infrastructure so that when screen positive women come, you have the treatment available, diagnosis available, cancers are managed. So this is something which needs to be planned and then put into the health services. And in that context, there should be investments in infrastructure for diagnosis and treatment of CIN, colposcopy, LEAP and cold coagulation and training for that. And then you are building up a cancer treatment facility in the state, and that will eventually provide the support for treating invasive cancer. Because when you screen, you are going to come across quite a number of stage 1 cervical cancer, which requires radical surgery as one of the primary approaches. And with, of course, with radiotherapy, you can treat a spectrum of cervical cancer beginning from stage 1 to stage 4. And then quality assurance is kept in place. There are guidelines available. You can develop your own guidelines based on the guidelines. So this is critically important. You're doing a lot of activities here. So at any time, people can ask you, oh, how many people I have examined in the state? And what is the outcome? So you should be able to say this at any point in time. You cannot say this by manual registers or by manual counting. It is subject to error, cumbersome. So a centralized information system where all the information is collected from the primary care, the number of people screened, number of people examined and what is their outcome. And from the treatment centers, diagnostic centers, number of people coming, the screen positive people coming for diagnosis and treatment, what happened to them. And then you have a population based cancer registry very efficiently run by Dr. Varma. So that you can link them with, so what happens to these people who are the screen negative? Did they develop a cancer eventually? So was our test sufficiently, accurate enough? So there are many information that you can get from an information system. And you have actually a computerized information system here, and that needs to be merged, and there should be some structural adjustments, and there should be plans to analyze the information collected in the computerized database so that at any point in time that you know what is happening in the state, what is the progress of the program, what is the results of the program, outcomes of the program. So in the context of cervical cancer, for example, cervical cancer VIA screening, number of women screened with VIA, the VIA positivity rate, how many women were positive on VIA, what is the distribution of VIA positivity by different age groups, what proportion of VIA positive women ultimately came for diagnosis, and what number of women have been detected with CIN1, CIN2, CIN3, and how many of them have been treated, and how many invasive cancers were detected, what is the stage distribution, and how many were treated. So, the detection rates of disease, stage of disease, and then there is a cancer registry here. It is documenting incidence year after year for cervical cancer. So, 10 years down the line, you know, if you don't see a 70% reduction in cervical cancer incidence, you are concluding, oh, okay, there is something need to be done. And if you are not seeing an increase in early stages of invasive cancer, or you are not detecting at least 2 to 3 CIN3 per 1,000 women screened, then there is something wrong here. So you look into this. So the evaluation of outcome and the monitoring of progress can be effectively done by the centralized information system. And I'm sure tomorrow the government will be asking our secretary, oh, what is the cost-benefit ratio of this program? You know, what is the cost of detecting a CIN3? What is the cost of detecting and treating invasive cancer? What is the cost per life year saved? You are, for prolonging 1 year in life, how much you are spending? Are we spending an enormous amount of money? So ultimately you can mount cost effectiveness assessment and publish regular annual reports so that you know where you are. So ultimately, as I said, this information base will be linked with population-based cancer registry. You have already one very efficient, and it is an accurate registry. So here, you will be able to know, if a woman is VIA negative, did she develop cervical cancer the 10 years following the VIA negativity? Or 5 years following VIA negativity? If she developed, then you think the test is a false negative. And what proportion of VIA positive women ultimately develop cervical cancer? If you see very few, then your interpretation is the VIA positivity led to interventions which try to prevent cervical cancer. So such assessments that you can make. And ultimately with death registers. Next slide, please. I think the most important message is, please do not invest in half-assed initiatives, because especially when we do public health programs, we begin with a lot of fanfare and a lot of money is invested, but there is no organization and things like that, so they fail. So this is why the public health programs have such a poor reputation. In this state, fortunately, you have thought about various things. And for a brief moment, I was able to observe the program being implemented in the clinic here. There is a lot of activity going on. You know, at one go, 5 diseases are targeted. A lot of things are being done. So there is a great potential for this program to be successful that will ultimately reduce the financial commitment on the government, to treat very serious diseases in the state. The important message here is, if you do something, for example, if you do VIA here, a VIA positive woman, manage her. Either confirm disease or exclude disease and treat. If the disease is confirmed, treat her. The disease is not confirmed, encourage her to come back for repeat screening after 5 or 10 years. And in the public health program, we should participate exactly in the way that we will do something in our office or in our private practice or within our department. You know, contribute your might to the program so that the program is successful. Thank you.